The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
Hey, yo, what's good, everybody? This is Ortiz from the Latin American Exchange, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. Yow!
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
I just realized it's going to be 5 years doing this podcast. 5 years. What the fuck is wrong with me? Shit. 5 years. Take the tail end of 5 years for my co-host to run away to Florida. Basically wanted to get as far away from me and the podcast as possible. So what way he can do it? He might as well have sent them to like Indonesia or New Zealand. But no, I'm here, still holding ground, almost 5 years later, discussing men and underwear and tight-fitting clothes, slamming and sweating all over each other and having opinions about it. Yeah, pretty much sums it up. There's another audio recording done at my job as I sit in a closet on my break time, trying to minimize the work I need to do when I go to the studio and just record on my phone. Which, by the way, I just recently listened to the Pat McAfee, Vince McMahon conversation on McAfee's podcast. I'll give more of an in-depth perspective on Around the Square Circle about it. But I say this, regardless of how much money an individual has, I mean, regardless of how much status they have, some people really don't give a fuck about how their audio sounds. And I'm only saying this because I've known for so long how fucking tedious and painstaking it is to try to put on a show and have some kind of clear audio. That you could hear. I mean, hell, for years, all you heard was us doing blowouts on a mic. And it was whatever latitude it was coming from. But, you know, at least we try to sustain some kind of, some audio that was clear. Then after the Rodecaster, it made life so much easier for the show. Like I said, it's probably one of the best investments that I did ever for this podcast. I mean, honestly, this was leaps and bounds what helped to make the show much, much better. But listen to McAfee on his podcast, like, they almost sound like they're were in a hallway. And I hear a lot of other guys on their podcast, and a lot of them are just, they're very successful. They have, you know, thousands upon millions of listeners. And even their Skype conversations or Zoom or whatever they're on, it's just poor. And, you know, I get it now. I get how, you know, it's not about the quality. It's about the content. I get it. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed how people are able to still put it together. Shit. But nonetheless, yeah, I'll be going more on a I guess a self-indulgent clarification of my 5 years doing this and my breakthrough once the anniversary approaches. Should be in about 2 weeks or so, maybe less. Yeah, it's about 2 weeks or so. But nonetheless, once again, welcome everybody to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I'm your host, Mr. Ear to the Mat, the King of Talks Down, and as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jay the Red Santee. Be sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the Like and Group page on Facebook. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at Turnbuckle Tab, as well as on the Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. And be sure you check us out on YouTube and on TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Live streaming will be coming back really soon. I'm waiting to get cleared again for Facebook. I think I have like another 10 days, whatever. I still don't understand why the fuck this happened, but whatever. Yeah, so that's happening. I don't know. There's other things that I want to do content wise. I want to try again on Twitch. Got connected with Rageworks on Discord. We'll be doing some stuff there as well. Be on the lookout for that. And much more going down the lane. But as always, make sure you check us out on all the podcasting outlets. As always, get us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, wherever, man. We're iHeart. We're everywhere, guys. Just make sure to download, stream, share with your friends. If they're wrestling fans, let them know where they can get us at. And if not, you could always check the family at RageWorksNetwork.com. We have much content there for you guys under the Rageworks family. Toys and Techs, Trek Untold, and a plethora of other podcasts. So check us out there at RageWorksNetwork.com. And as always, check out the family at RageWorks.net for all content pertaining to the world we live in. Movies, video games, TV shows, comic books, toys. It's all there, guys. Collectibles. Why go anywhere else? Articles posted, reviews, previews, contests. It's all there for you guys at RageWorks.net. We do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is. So, yeah, got much to talk about. Round the Square Circle, we'll be discussing upcoming Revolution. I'm not sure when I will give the, most likely I'll give the review on the following episode. That'll probably be the cutting up promo. But that's coming up. I'll also give you guys a review of Outlaw Wrestling. We were just there this past week. Had a fun night with the guys. It was a real good night. Shout out to all the people who were showing me love for my Pokai Al Bundy jersey. Everybody was loving it. And, it was a real, real cool night, real good night. Once again, got heavily intoxicated, but nonetheless, found my way home. And much more coming down the way. We also, if you guys didn't check out the last episode, we were discussing the WWE 2K22 possibilities. By the time this airs, we'll probably be one day away from that. And I'll most likely start playing because I got the advanced copies. I'm getting it on the 8th. You give me probably like a week or two on it. Give you guys a clear perspective of what are my thoughts of all the modes and such. So keep an eye on that. The other thing I want to give a shout out to is the people who were at the Outlaw show, who showed us love and gave us praises to our show and how we conduct ourselves doing interviews and conversations. Guys were really complimentary, saying, you know, you guys have that a style in which that makes listening to podcasts much easier. It's almost like if we're sitting in a bar or at a barbershop, just kicking it. And you guys, you know, it's not that kiss ass kind of show. You guys are doing very well with that. So that was awesome. We got a lot of compliments for that. So thank you guys who took the time to show us love that day and, acknowledge the show. So, other than that, man, you know, the world is fucking, it's just shifting crazy, man. I know everybody's just worried about how everything's going down. But although many years I've been one of those individuals who could be a pessimist and just be fucking looking at the glass half empty. And it's pretty much because I drank half of it, especially if it had beer or alcohol in it. But other than that, you got to look at, you know, what the landscape of the world is now. And just have hope, man. Just have hope. Things are rough right now. They're very rough. We're coming out of one situation and possibly landing into the next one. So just take each time you have and just put together, you know, plans and such to make every day the best day you can, man. That's all you could that's all you could think about. That's it, pretty much. Other than that, I'm just waiting to play 2K22. That's what basically has been on my agenda. I should find a way to, you know, maybe schedule a vacation just to play 2K. Nah. I'll get around to it one way or another. But other than that, guys, got much on our plate for Wrestling Rundown. Oh, and once again, big shout out to Chris Cage, who stopped by last episode. It was short notice, but the man stepped in, and we had a great conversation about wrestling. I'm hoping that he becomes a regular on the show. He had some great insights, so guys, check out the last episode on that. But yeah, this week's Wrestling Rundown got much to talk about. Like I said, we got the Vince McMahon interview. We also have the big purchase that was made by said promoter owner, and we'll talk about that in depth as well. So guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. I'm gonna take a nap. This is my time where it's nap time at my job. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. We return. Got much more for you guys. See you guys in a sec.
In a small town in San Francisco lies a heart of a warrior, a man who's striving to become not only a team member, but a champion. From the creators of the Game Plan and the Tooth Fairy is a story of a young San Francisco football team who just wanted to be accepted and wanted to play with other guys.
All I wanted to do, I swear to God, was get on the field and just score. All I can do and think about is score. All I want is to score. Shit, I just remembered I had a fucking date with Renee last night. Oh, I gotta call him.
Disney Films presents Tight Ends, a story of a football team that's not quite a football team you would usually see in football movies.
Ah, did you just tackle me? Ooh, it hurt. But I kind of liked it. Ooh.
A story of a young man who wanted to go on a football field and live out his dream of playing as a quarterback.
Dad, all I want to do is just go out there and just bring something back to this town that it really, really needs.
I understand, son. I really do. I really, really feel for you. But, you know that you're
what? I'm not an athlete. Well, you do know that I did run track and field, and I am an athlete.
No. I wasn't gonna say that. I was gonna say that. Well,
you know that you're what? I can't throw. I can throw. You saw me the way that I threw that football. That it went through the tire and it went in, and everybody went yay when I did it.
No, I'm not saying that, son. I'm just saying that. Well, aren't you? It's a story about team camaraderie coming together by one man and one man only, Coach Macho.
All right, I got to tell you something. You guys, it's amazing. When you first came in, I thought you guys were pansies. I thought you were just nothing but sissies. But after just you coming together and bringing this team together and locking it down and going into the showers and staying in the showers for longer than I usually men would stay in the showers, and I would hear disco music and any case, whatever. You guys came together and you bring fire, you bring tenacity to the field, and That's what I like about you guys. And stop hitting each other in the ass with towels.
Disney presents a movie of strength, bonding, togetherness, and more togetherness.
All right, guys, down. Set. 69. 69. 69. 68.
I'll owe you one.
Hike, hike.
The story tells of a bonding relationship between Coach and his team.
All right, guys, you guys are showing fire out there. Let's go out there in the second half and let's show that we can win. Let's dig in. And by the way, after you guys tackle somebody, you all don't have to go on top of each other and stay on the pile. Like, that just takes too long and it looks kind of weird. You guys, you can't do that. You gotta, and why is it that every time you tackle each other, somebody always comes out smiling and has like a little, but anyway, I don't even want to get into it.
Disney presents Tight Ends, a story of epic and fabulous proportions.
That's right, Hunty. You get that touchdown. You score. Now we got a floss and floss and get it, get in vogue and vogue. Do your dance in the end zone.
Guys, the game didn't even start yet. Who cares? There's a party going on. Fuck it. Let's go. Let's go.
Oh, oh, let's go.
Disney presents Tight Ends.
Coming to a theater near you. This movie is brought to you by
the Regular Season Sportscast.
This podcast is hosted by World Tag Team Champions in a promotion that has no wrestlers at all. You're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
It's Wrestling Rundown with Jay Santy.
Live from New York, it's
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Dedicated to your craft, you put self-imposing deadlines on yourself. You will get up in the middle of the night when you should be sleeping, get your ass in front of where you got to be in front of, and start putting in that work. And that, my friends, is what you're hearing right now from me. This was a jam-packed weekend. This was a weekend of interviews. UFC, we had the Batman, and we had, of course, AEW's Revolution. So, you know, being able to get in front of the microphone to wrap up this episode wasn't easy. Was a daunting task, but you gotta do what you gotta do, man. You gotta get it in where you fit in. So, just before we continue, like I mentioned, just saw the Batman this weekend, and not sure what I can tell you guys. I know everybody's in love with it. I'm not quite sure I am. And I'll just tell you this: if you haven't seen it yet, just be prepared to sit there for a minute. It's gonna be a long ride, ladies and gentlemen. As per the movie and the quality, I thought it was good. I'm not gonna put it up there to a higher level, but you guys check it out. The big thing for me that I enjoyed, it's spoiler free. It's more of a detective story, which I was a fan of. But yeah, that pretty much wrapped that up. As for other stuff going on. Let's just kick it off. Let's just get it going.
As always, I'm the Norm MacDonald of the sex, and let's see, it's a wrestling weekend update. So Cain Velasquez was arrested for attempted murder. Yeah, right. What a way to kick off a fucking wrestling rundown, right? Shit. Apparently, that this past week, Cain Velasquez was detained due to firing at another vehicle in which his bullets had struck one of two individuals. And the cause or reasoning for could be justified. Seems as though stories are leaking saying that Cain Velasquez, formerly of WWE and AAA, approached a gentleman due in part because one of said gentlemen was sexually abusing a family member, a young family member. The shooting and the arrest occurred in California, and story's still developing, but yeah, if this is true, I hear you, dog.
It's good to be the champion.
Chavo Guerrero apparently found out this week that he was released from AEW via his image and graphics being removed from the AEW website. Chavo went on Twitter to state that this was news to me, went on a rant, as they always do, to say that he wasn't aware of this being released, and he thought that he and Tony Khan were in good graces because Chavo had to leave to do consulting for Young Rock, the TV show. And he had thought that Tony had left that open door policy for him, but apparently not. There have been some issues going back and forth since this reporting, and it seems as though that although Chavo is not back, it seems as though that the tweet had to calm down, had come down, and Tony seems to be more on the sympathetic side than anything else. So we'll check on this in later segments. This past week, reports have come out that Scott Hall was hospitalized for breaking his hip. Oof. When you hear stuff like this, it's just, you hear just how old you are. Of course, you know, you're sympathetic to the individual and such, but this is a man that we've known to be strong, muscular, macho, the Nacho Man. To be the antithesis of like masculinity. But then when you hear someone breaking their hip, you're automatically thinking like, A, they're young wrestlers who did it. B, they're young football or hockey players that did it. And lastly, C, that they're old. And breaking your hip, ladies and gentlemen, is not, from what I hear, is not on the highest levels of comfortable. There's many people who have said that who can equate it to childbirth. So, shout out to Scott Hall. Everything goes well with him, and may he have a comfortable and speedy recovery.
Brett screwed Brett.
Apparently, Becky Lynch unfollowed Nia Jax on Twitter, other people have followed suit as well due to Nia Jax's comments about the situation in the Ukraine and tying it with mask mandates. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Of course, some idiots just have to, you know, not understand to see the reasoning of what's going on. Look, let me just say, whatever your thoughts about what's going on overseas, granted, it is what it is. And we could all go into the history and such that, you know, Russia is not the only country who has invaded a sovereign country and tried to declare it as their own. Hell, I don't know, maybe our own country has been involved in such actions. But in any case, it's still it's a terrible situation because, you know, of course, war is ugly. War is terrible because lives are lost and such. But when you try to tie it into your own agenda, especially when it comes to, wow, you had 2 years to wear a fucking mask. Oh, woe is me. Wow. Such the inconvenience. You still went through life. You still was able to do what you had to do. It wasn't like fucking bombs were landing over your fucking head. Or shots were being rung out around you because you didn't have a mask on. Or if you wore a mask, it was due in part to an invader who was coming in and was not happy that you were wearing a mask. Speaking of tweets, and then you have Glenn Jacobs, Kane, on his end with his thoughts about Putin and what's going on over there. And you kind of sit there and you go, you know, maybe sometimes you just shouldn't share your thoughts. Maybe you should just keep that all inside. Maybe you should just, if you just have these thoughts, just let it go, but not on social media so everyone can hear. One of the persons who commented on one of his tweets, because basically he was proclaiming that Putin is strong, and this is me paraphrasing, and might makes right and such like that. It's one of the individuals who commented on it was like, and you're surprised by this because man was called the big red machine for a reason. I mean, and this is just the whole, I know it's not a political show, but you know, I tend to turn this way quickly and I'll go back. I'm just more surprised that Americans who just side with this shit. But then I said, no, not really, because I remember during the age of World War II and shit, there were fucking Nazis in this country meeting up in Madison Square Garden and shit. So I'm not really that surprised. But you just look at this country and the hypocrisy that it is, where it's, you know, Russia's doing their thing. But I blame Biden for not, you know, assisting. You can't have it both ways, man. You really can't.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Booty-o!
I would talk the Vince McMahon interview on the Pat McAfee show. I'll go more into that in the Around the Square Circle, but I will say this. It wasn't a conversation that was very cookie cutter, but to say, like, you know, I like I said, I'll go more into it later on, but if you haven't heard it, I suggest you do. It's actually a good listen. It kind of makes Vince a little bit more human, per se. Especially when you can hear him cussing. Like, you can tell he's a real man's man when he does that. So take a listen to that. And I'll go into more details about it and Around the Square Circle. It's time! So, of course, the big news this week was the announcement, which was made on AEW Dynamite this past Wednesday, in which Tony Khan opened the show, announcing that he has purchased Ring of Honor. And I had a few people message me asking me what was my thoughts about it. And I said, fucking great. Somebody should get it, right? Reason being is because, A, the library is secure. Hopefully we could get that library to be seen somewhere in which people will be able to access it easily and have those moments again in which we as wrestling fans who are fans of Ring of Honor and who are fans of wrestling could watch over and over again. Just want to know, how big is the library? Is it from the early days? Is it from 2002? Because I heard there was some issues that the earlier library may not be available for, was not available for sale, but hopefully it is. And then the other thought about it, amongst others, was the fact that this opens up the floor to wrestlers getting work. That's the most important thing. Let's get these guys working. Let's get talents out there flowing. There's talks that Ring of Honor would be their developmental, which is not a bad idea. There's a lot of guys on there that they're racking up. That roster's getting way too full for 3 hours of wrestling, and I'm not even counting Dark and Dark Elevation, Dark the Return, Dark Strikes Back. Like, I'm not even counting those shows. I'm just, like I said, it's to me, this is for the fans. This is for the aficionados, the people who are really into wrestling and want to see that wrestling flourishes and progresses. And this is the best way of doing it, by allowing this library, this company to grow and pick up again, because I think that this is much needed. There's so much opportunity, so much prospects, so much talents and stories that could be upheld and presented on this show, in this promotion, that it's a benefit for everyone. The only thing I do say is don't have Tony run it. He's already got his hands full with everything else. Leave him to his own fucking vices, to his own fucking shows, and give Ring of Honor to somebody else. Let them deal with it. There was talks of possibly William Regal and Samoa Joe coming in. I had a conversation with Henry from the Chokeslam Report. Shout out to them. Give him a shout. Give him a listen to this week. I was on their show this past week, and they were talking possibly this is the return of Cody, and I theorized that, you know, the whole Cody thing. If he comes back, hey, it's, you know, fine. It's whatever. Like, at the end of the day, I've always tell people, I don't want to know everything. I don't want to predict everything. I don't want to be the guy that's a know-it-all. Work me. I'm fine. I'm okay with being worked. And I would love to for that to happen. Like, oh, shit, they brought him back? I'm okay with that. I don't have to know everything, although I do. But I don't have to know everything. But I don't feel that he comes back with this, because if he already had creative differences with the executives, why would they give him his own show? I think it would be better if, and I think this would be suited for individuals who are coming with fresh-eyed, or individuals who haven't gotten the look yet, that due in part to who's already in charge with Rampage and with Dynamite, who should be able to have their hands over there, like a Jerry Lynn maybe if he wanted to book, or Dean Malenko if he wanted to book, like those guys. Or maybe this is the way in which Punk and Bryan Danielson are able to finally get the, you know, opportunity they want, because this is something that it's in their wheelhouse. So maybe this will be that, you know, their fold, and you know, Tony could be that guy who, you know, people have said is a gracious individual who hands over stuff like this to people and say, do what you can do, do what you do. So, I'm hoping that this is something I wanted to be. I hope it's on someplace that we could get access to easily. It would be great. It would be awesome. Make it easy. Don't have it on fucking Bleacher Report, because that's a fucking horrible. It's a horrible app. You talk shit about, you know, Punk made a mention about he's happy that the Ring of Honor library is brought in to a company that their library won't be stuck on a shitty app, which nobody could get access to. But Bleacher Report is fucking dreadful. That shit is horrible when it comes to AEW shit. It's bad. I'm not even a fan of the fucking layout of it. It's horrible. Mind you, I have my gripes and my quips about Peacock, but BR is just as bad. I'm telling you, it's not pleasurable. But like I said, I'm happy that we as fans could have something else to watch. I was asked, where do you think it fits? I would put it on Saturdays, the 6:05 time. Since Tony Khan is such a fan of the old school wrestling, I would figure that, you know, Saturdays, the 6:05, that used to draw a lot of numbers back in the days for WCW. A lot of eyes was on there. This, you could watch it. This, before you go out, before you go hang out, it was a quick find. You go, you know, watch it before, during, or after dinner. It's you know, right before family time, before you want to have game night and shit like that. It's perfect. I nice 2-hour block, makes sense to me. Six to eight, and either on TBS or TNT. It'll work solidly for me. If is that a word? I believe that's a word. Yeah, it should be. If not, and I just made it up. But yeah, I think that'll be the best fit for that, for the company and for fans. Please don't put it on some fucking website. Don't put it on BR. Don't put it on Bleacher Report. Please, no. And if you're going to put it on a network, just, you know, make it accessible. Make it someplace where people can find. I know people's like, well, there's always YouTube. And it's like, yeah, but YouTube is not for everybody. YouTube is not for everything. You know, I'm already seeing, like, how, you know, I do watch MLW on there, but it's because how I watch it. I'm at work. It's late. I don't ever do shit at work. I don't ever do shit at work. So I have that that time and accessibility. Not everybody does have that. So, you know, and plus I have YouTube Premium, so I don't have to have my phone on. I can listen to wrestling, so it's like my flex, right? Like, I have YouTube Premium, right? So I don't know. They should work on finding other ways to get it out there to the wrestling fans. But I digress. Like I said, this is a good look. Congratulations to AEW, Tony Khan, and the fans and wrestlers in a whole, because now we are going to see a new fun and a new vision for Ring of Honor. So we're excited to see that and how that's gonna go. When we come back, we'll have Around the Square Circle. Much to talk about this week. Guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. Check you guys in a sec.
Bring the in-ring action home to your tabletop with the number one wrestling card game in the world, Super Show the Game. And live all your wildest wrestling fantasies without ever taking a chair shot. Available on supershowthegame.com. Order today and join a spectacle so grand it can only be called the Super Show.
Stretch, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the home stretch. Round the square circle, ladies and gentlemen. So, this week we attended a few things, heard a few things, watched a few things, and partook in a few things. Just quickly want to let you guys know we were at the Outlaw Wrestling Show this past Thursday, and once again, at a good time. This, like I said, this promotion is really growing on me. It really has. Shout out to the boys over there. Shout out to Bull James and the rest of the folk out there who are doing it for Outlaw Wrestling. Although it's a bar wrestling group, they take it so professional, and it's a fun atmosphere, and it's a fun environment to be in. Guys are really cool. Richard Holiday was out there this night. It was good to see the boys on the main event getting a workout out over there as well. And the main event was Homicide versus Killer Cross. Now, as always, much love to the fam, everybody out there who showed up. But I honestly have to say, hands down, besides wrestlers that we know who are, you know, basically friends to the show, but also we consider family, They're always cool for us. Always supportive. One thing that I don't do is I'm not one of those that, like I said, unless we're like tied to each other, we're cool. I'm not really a guy who wants to take pictures and get autographs and all that stuff. You know, people do that. You know, that's fun for them, but I'm not really into that. I would do it for Selly and such, but for me, it was like, I'm really gonna give a shit. And I always end up forgetting about doing it anyway. And then meeting and greeting people, it's like, yeah, it's whatever. You know, I know a lot of people went to the main event this past weekend. Shout out to you guys. You guys, you are the true essence of fandom. I'm just a piece of shit, wannabe fucking media exhibitionist or whatever you want to call it. But like meeting wrestlers and such like that, it's few and far between. A lot of them really come off very arrogant, very pompous, and don't really want to have that kind of interaction with fans. But on this night, hands down, out of every wrestler that I've met outside of the people that we already knew and already cool with, Killer Cross has to be one of the most down-to-earth, coolest wrestlers I have ever met. I mean, this was remarkable to me. It was crazy that a person who has been on his level, his stature, his scale in pay, experience, exposure, could be that down to earth. I was happy to see that. Just a quick story. After the main event, I let everything die down. I said, let me go to the back and see what Homicide's doing. Let's see if we're going to have a couple of drinks at the bar, chill for a little bit. And go back there. He's chopping it up with a couple of the guys, whatever the case may be. He's talking to Cross. And after pleasantries were exchanged, I asked Killer Cross, oh yeah, Boricua, because apparently he's Puerto Rican. You know he's Puerto Rican, right? And he laughed and he just said that, I know a little bit of Spanish, but I understand it more, and my Puerto Rican is like extended. He's probably like one quarter Puerto Rican or some shit like that. You still Boricua, fam. So we spoke for, about a couple of minutes, and then I had to ask him. I said, listen, you gonna hang out? Because I have a couple of guys who really want to meet you, and they're ready to mark out for your ass. And he just starts laughing, and he goes, yeah, no, we're hanging out. We're good. When I tell you, he sat there and spoke to these guys for about 2 hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and just kicking shit. I'm not going to expose anything that he said, disclose anything, because a lot of this stuff was off the record. But from what I heard, and even the small conversation that I had with him, with my banter about his experience and such, you would be surprised that with all the things that the news reports had said about him and Scarlett and his time at in WWE and such was greatly exaggerated. The man honestly said, and like I said, I won't disclose it fully, but his time in WWE was not as bad as people made it seem. He's a guy who knows what he wants, what he does, and he also knows that it's a job. And he'll go out there and do the job. And that's what a lot of guys in the business don't understand. And, you have to respect that. You have to respect that. He knew what it was and what it was to be when you got that, that moment in NXT and you get the call up to WWE. And showed great, honorable, and love for Triple H. And like I said, I'll just leave it at that. But it was a great time, great talk. A lot of people usually want to decompress and they'll just want to just kick back and not even bother. He took every fucking question and answered it. It was a great night for those guys. I was more involved in everything else. I was being a fucking barfly and interacting and bullshitting. But those guys really enjoyed their time there. And shout out to him for doing that. Also this week, we listened to the Pat McAfee, Vince McMahon interview, and I guess piggybacking off of that, Vince came off a bit more human here. I was not to say I was shocked, because we've seen these glimpses before of Vince, but I also believe that the man is getting up in his age, and rumor has it he's 76, as they say, and his connection with the business, the fans, and wrestlers seems to be a bit more open than many people believe it to be or seeing it. Not going to say that this conversation was one in which would change the minds of many of those who are upset at what Vince is doing with his company. But I guess it's like how Cornette says that Vince always knows how to convince you to spin, know his way to make you feel as though that what you're going to do is the right thing to do. He's very much of a Svengali that way. I thought his approach and his thought about the reasoning why he doesn't call them wrestlers is because he believes that his company is bigger than wrestling, that they're sports entertainers, they're superstars. You know, are you a wrestler or are you going to be bigger than a wrestler? Do you want to be a superstar? And you kind of feel that way when a lot of these guys, they do leave the company. Look at Cody. Cody left and he wanted to branch out to do movies, TV shows, you know, hosting duties. He's a superstar. And, you know, I kind of was seeing that. Like, I kind of was understanding that. Granted, you're always going to say it's a wrestling show. No, it's a sports entertainment show. And he's going to convince you to the fullest that that's what that is. You know, I already know the story about, you know, other wrestling promoters wanting to kill him once he started taking over the territories and shit. I kind of got the sense that Vince wanted to convey to the listeners that we do hear you, but 90% of you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I don't disagree with that. Everybody wants their favorite wrestler to be a champion. Everybody wants their favorite wrestler to have that push. But at the end of the day, like, you know, that's not how wrestling is. You know, I had the conversation on Chokeslam Report about people being upset that if Cody goes to WWE, all he's going to do is be a mid-carder. And it's like, well, at the end of the day, it's not about titles all the time. It's about who brings you the better story. There's so much story that you can do with him or anybody else that, you know, title runs come later. Sometimes having a title bogs you down. And I think that Vince has found a way to convey that to certain people, with certain people. Now, I'm not one of those that applauds everything that he does, because there's times that I say, you just fucking somebody up and fucking somebody over. And yes, that does happen a lot. And he knows that because he said it. He said that sometimes a lot of his stuff doesn't stick, doesn't make sense, and doesn't work. But, you know, that's just the nature of the business. And that's what happens. I thought that his commentary, his openness, and his banter with McAfee was very inviting. And that's one conversation that I think that you guys should have a listen to. The only thing that if I was McAfee, if I would have taken a couple of more minutes about it, because there was certain instances where he could have strayed off somewhere else, is I would have done all the urban legends of Vince. Like, do you only sleep 3 hours a day? Or is it true that you never knew what a burrito was, or that you hate people who sneeze? And I would have asked those questions, all those urban legend questions that people have said over the years, and had those answered. But other than that, I thought it was a really good conversation. Also this week, Cultaholic, on YouTube, they had a mini doc about what really happened during the curtain call. Really, I know, you know, we've heard this talk over and over again. We've heard these stories over and over again, but I thought the way that they laid it out was done really well. And there were certain aspects of it that I didn't know. So check those guys out at Cultaholic. And wrestling bios this week, Royal Pro Wrestling for the 3DO. I never heard of that. This is a wrestling game that was on a long forgotten system called the 3DO. And it was basically a game that was an amalgamation of different wrestling promotions. They had their version of Hogan, Macho Man, Shawn Michaels, but they just gave them different names, Bret Hart. And it was a Japanese game, so it would be probably tough to find. And I don't even think they have an emulator for it, but It was interesting. It was interesting to see. I've never heard of this game before. They also did another version of this week for WCW Blunders. Check those guys out for that. As well as Jim Cornette talks about Kane's tweets, as well as what the true definition of a Texas Deathmatch. Eric Bischoff with 83 weeks goes on. He discusses the urban legend of how it occurred in which Goldberg challenged Stone Cold when Goldberg was in WCW. And check out those guys at MLW this past week, man. Great show this past week as well. So this kick it off with Raw, ladies and gentlemen. With Raw this week. Don't mind me if I breeze through things. Oh, by the way, for the AEW review, we'll be doing that for Cutting a Promo this week. So take a listen for that. Just keep your ears out for that. We'll be doing that this week, upcoming soon. Kicking off Raw this week. Last week, we had Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens vowing to win the AEW Tag Team Championship and go and lead their way into WrestleMania as champions. Alpha Academy comes out. Gable said that they weasel their way into the match and will lose. They start telling each other, blah, 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 and then Owens took out Gable with a stunner. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens defeat the Royal Tag Team Championships, Tag Team Champions Alpha Academy. Amos defeats T-Bar. Hey, T-Bar, welcome back. Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, and Liv Morgan defeat Becky Lynch, Doudrop, and Nikki A.S.H. Tommaso Ciampa defeats Robert Roode. Ciampa's been doing a lot of work this past week, doing some NXT work as well. People were not happy with Ciampa's new song, and I'm one of them. But once again, Vince wants to scrape away what used to be him and NXT to... You're a new guy here, pal. So say bye-bye to Ciampa, Tommaso Ciampa's old theme music. Dana Brooke and the 24/7 champion Reggie defeat Tamina and Akira Tozawa in a mixed tag. After the match, Dana kissed Reggie, and then Tamina kissed Akira. Okay. Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander defeat Dominic and Rey Mysterio after the Miz caused a distraction. We get Carmella and Queen Zelina versus Sasha Banks and Naomi for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. And that'll be announced for WrestleMania 38. How did that happen? What now? The Street Profits defeat RK-Bro. Austin Theory talked about Vince and his upcoming appearance on the Pat McAfee show. Theory then reminded Vince that the last time Vince did a similar sit-down interview, that he was mad at the interviewer and things got physical, and thus scaring the interviewer away. Yeah, it's just a banter back and forth with Vince and him. We get Finn Balor defeating Damian Priest to win the United States Championship. After the match, Priest said that he... said fans carried Balor through this victory. Fans never showed any appreciation to him during his title reign. This is his form of heel turn. I wasn't a fan of how this was done. I was watching this, and I was like, why is this being done now? This could have been saved for a separate segment later on during the show or next week's show. I didn't get it. Honestly, I didn't get it. Finn was just standing there looking awkward. And then after that, Priest attacked Balor to turn heel. He hit the Razor's Edge. And it was under on the announcer's table. Finally, we get the Edge segment in which he's calling out someone in the back. Who will it be? Who will it be now? Beep, 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 beep. Who's gonna? Ooh, excuse me. Ooh, hiccups. Who's gonna be the one to challenge him at WrestleMania. He'll make them a legend, blah, 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 blah. And out comes AJ Styles, which, you know, many of us predicted it would be. And it makes logical sense. But, and we get this, once again, a turn that makes no sense. Now, people will say, well, remember when AJ and the guys confronted Edge before the case, maybe. Okay. But this one didn't come off right. I don't know. It just, I thought it was formatted it wrong. It just, there was no build. It just seems like it was just thrown in and thrust upon us as viewers. And I don't know, to me, didn't make any sense. I really think this could have been framed better, and hopefully down the line they do something more with this. But the concerto, you know, that stuff was a bit excessive. And like I said, I know it's stemming from previous history, but, you know, this is, like they said, this is the fantasy booking everybody wants. I would think that this would be a better worked program along the way than just to thrust upon you like this. This could have had a better buildup, but what do I know? I'm not Vince. But other than that, that'll close out Raw, and this will lead up to our AEW announcements with AEW Dynamite. Opening up AEW Dynamite. Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone are in the middle of the ring, and this is when we get the big announcement that Tony Khan purchased Ring of Honor. And he's a weird fucking guy, isn't he? He's just, and a lot of people say, well, he's just very hyperactive, very excited. And he's weird. Like, this, I jokingly say he looks like he's doing fucking lines of Coke and Adderall or some shit. Like he just, like, it's Coke, caffeine, and Adderall. Like, he's just charged, like, oh. There's no level of professionalism with him. Everything is just high octane. And you know what? Fans like that, I guess. I just think he looks fucking, he's got maybe, I don't know, ADHD, and he just doesn't know how to take care of it. I don't know. He just awkward. But in any case, if he does, then you know what? Hey, take the meds, fan. It kind of helps out. After the announcement, we get a match between Bryan Danielson and Christopher Daniels. Great return for Christopher Daniels. Man is 53, 54, something of that lane and that vein. Let me just check quick. Great showing by the man. Nice return. This is basically their match from which they had many times before, but the inaugural triple threat match when Ring of Honor first started. And like I said, a great showing by both men. 51 years old, 51. He'll be 52 next week. Look at that. But it looked great. Looked phenomenal. We get after the match, after Bryan Danielson gets the win, he basically says, we were in Ring of Honor and we followed a code there, but we're not in Ring of Honor now. And he proceeds to begin to beat the shit out of him. Then this is when we get John Moxley to come out to make the save and let him know that he's going to be ready for their match at Revolution. We get the Young Bucks winning the Tag Team Battle Royal, which I also known as the Tag Team Casino Clusterfuck. That shit was, not only was it predictable, but it was just all over the place. The only thing that I did like was to see that Top Flight is back. The other brother Martin is back, so that was actually pretty cool. And he actually lasted longer, and towards the end, so that was a good look. Chris Jericho mentions that if Eddie Kingston defeats him at Revolution, he will shake his hand and give him respect. But if Kingston loses, he'll have to laugh. He'll laugh at his face and tell him to get the fuck, go fuck yourself. CM Punk questioned if MJF was sincere last week. Punk began to discuss the wrongs that he's done during his career and such, and he even dropped a mention of Undertaker somewhat when he said that he took the dead the ashes of his opponent's longtime mentor and rubbed it on his face, blah blah blah. Very enduring promo by CM Punk. We get MJF who comes out, and then MJF goes to give CM Punk a hug, and then of course hits him with the initial shot, makes CM Punk bleed, and yeah, that's where we at, leading up to Revolution. Sting, Darby, and the TNT champ, Sammy Guevara, made the save for Punk after the guys came out to put the boots to Punk. It took him a long time to get there, didn't they? We then get Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez defeating AEW Women's Champ Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter just looked like each time you watch a wrestler, her gear is just going more and more up her ass. I'm just saying. Nice ass, too. It's going up her ass. Wardlow and Cesar Bononi have a match. It was one of those quick squashers. Wardlow defeats Bononi. Sean Spears tries to hit Cesar with the steel chair, but Wardlow stops him from doing so. We've basically seen the Wardlow change here, sir. It's for the better. In a backstage segment, MJ said to Wardlow if he wins the Face of the Revolution match in the TNT title, that he'll let Wardlow keep the title, but doubts that will happen. Then Wardlow says he's the only reason why is because he's just been making sure that MJF wins his matches, and this is when MJF slaps him and tells him, remember who he works for. He doesn't work for AEW. He works for him. Which, by the way, the easiest angle would be, like, since he just won the Face of Revolution, Wardlow quits and just gets a contract with Tony Khan. It's the easiest way to go about it. The House of Black said that they gave Death Triangle a new meaning for of sight and violence. I like the promo that they had, the look that they were going with. Then we get Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly defeating Hangman and Johnny Hungy and fucking Alex Reynolds. After the match, the heels tied Paige to the ropes and took turns beating down Silver and Reynolds. Cole then super kicked Paige and told him after the Revolution he will be owning the world title. That was pretty quick, wasn't it? Yeah, it's pretty quick. That was their go home show. So leads us to Friday Night SmackDown. Kicking off SmackDown. We get Ricochet versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship match, which by the way, was spot on, great match. I enjoyed every moment of it. I would have been okay if Sami would have won, but we get a interference by Johnny Knoxville. Once you hear that, drew the attention away from Sami. And Ricochet was able to take advantage and pull out the win to become the new Intercontinental Champion. I was pleased with this match. It was, like I said, spot on. This is when WWE makes me happy, when I see matches like this. And like I said, Ricochet didn't initially have to win the IC title, but in this case, It was just the cherry on top. Great match. In the backstage segment, we had Sami Zayn challenging Knoxville for a WrestleMania match. So we're looking forward to that. Austin Theory then revealed after the Vince McMahon conversation that past week, since Vince announced that Pat McAfee will be having a WrestleMania match, Austin Theory announced that he will be his opponent for WrestleMania. Naomi defeats Carmella in the match. We get a match between Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal. But prior to the match, Happy Corbin and Madcap made jokes about Drew and their friends backstage. After the match, Drew sent a warning to Corbin ahead of WrestleMania that, I'm done with this feud. I really am. I'm just so burnt out by it. Drew should be doing so much better right now in this. It's pointless. It's a dull match, build up, everything. After this, Madcap made another joke about Drew. Corbin didn't laugh because he's pretty much worried about what's going to happen. Shinsuke and Rick Boogs were coming out, but SmackDown Tag Team Champions Uso attacked them. So I guess that's the new feud leading up. Or they're just attacking everybody right now because that's going to lead up to a fatal four-way tag match at WrestleMania. Who the fuck knows? Then Roman comes out because he wanted to announce that he's been champion for 551 days. Paul Heyman takes the mic and, of course, Heyman being Heyman. Is Roman supposed to be over like this? I don't think so. I don't think he's supposed to be over like this. Reigns says a lot of people don't want Lesnar with the WWE title, but he wants it and wants Brock to personally hand it to him, the title at WrestleMania when he wins. I'm like the Babe Ruth around here. I could take my shot. I could take my shot to deliver every time. I mean, listen, Roman. I don't know why people are not understanding that this is probably the best run that WWE has had with an individual in quite some time, especially with the backing and the way that he's progressed. It makes so much sense. The Usos defeat the Viking Raiders to retain the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Sheamus, Rich Holland then attacked the New Day and stole Big E's ATV and destroyed it. Why? Knoxville accepted Sami Zayn's challenge at Mania, and we finally get at the main event Ronda Rousey defeating Sonya Deville. She looked good, and Sonya worked with her very well. They both have similar styles, seeing as though that they both worked in the MMA world and shit. So it was a good showing. Hey, I wasn't too upset for Ronda, but it was a good showing. Let's just see how it plays out later on until WrestleMania. And that leads us to AEW Dynamite. Oh, sorry, Rampage. Yeah, Rampage. That's what it was. Yeah. The final Rampage before Evolution. Revolution. Whatever. Kicking off Rampage, we get Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, Andrade El Idiota, in a triple threat match for the TNT Championship. Why is Sammy still coming out with two belts? That is so obnoxious. It looks fucking stupid. I mean, for this match, it was what it was. I don't know. Something about this match bothered me. I don't know. I guess it's the people in it. It's almost as though, like, you're... needing to put these individuals in the match to favor the crowd or something. I don't know. But in any case, Sammy pulls off the win here. It was a lot of high octane stuff here, but it's still, it was just like, it almost made me feel as though like I've seen all this before. Maybe. We get Death Triangle challenging the House of Black for a match in Revolution. When the House accepts, you know, they threaten to sacrifice Alex, but then Alex says that there will be someone that will be joining the Death Triangle. And since they have a big guy, they have a big guy as well. And they call out Eric Redbeard, also known as Eric Rowan from the Wyatts. We then get Keith Lee defeating J.D. Drake. It basically took longer than I expected. After that, the wingmen attacked Keith, but then he took him out. I thought Peter Avalon wasn't there anymore. I guess he's still getting checks. Okay. Lambert announced that Paige VanZant will sign her AEW contract at Revolution, and that Sammy Guevara will defend his TNT title against Scorpio Sky in the next Dynamite. Ty Conti calls out Jade and lays her out backstage. And she tells she has two more days, 48 more hours until they're able to face off at Revolution. Serena Deeb defeats Layla Gray in a Professor's 5-Minute Challenge. Then Hikaru Shida comes out and just basically beats the shit out of her with the kendo stick. Then had on her face, "I'm back." I don't know what the fuck that was about. Okay. Christian Cage defeats Ethan Page to qualify for the Face of the Revolution match. Jurassic Express joined Christian to celebrate. This is when the Young Bucks and Red Dragon came out and took away the AEW titles. Luchasaurus took the titles back and Jungle Boy took them out with a dive outside the ring. What a fucking stupid way to end the show. That's fucking dumb. Yeah, pretty much that blows everything out on that end. And then, as you guys know, Revolution was on Sunday, and I'll have my thoughts, opinions, commentary about it, this cutting a promo on the next episode. So, guys, this will close out not only Around the Square Circle, but also this week's episode. Make sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on our like group pages on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram and on Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. Be sure you check us out on TikTok and on YouTube on that Turnbuckle Tabloid. Also, all podcasting outlets RageWorksNetwork.com and as well as at RageWorks.net. Check out the family and what's going down with the RageWorks crew. Before I go, just got to let you guys know that this past week I was at we were at Outlaw, and I get to say this publicly, you know, we were having a good time and everything and such. And sometimes things could be said and things could be misconstrued in certain ways. And certain people can not understand or get with what it is that's going down. So this a kind of an incident occurred that way this past week. And wasn't nothing major. It was just a misunderstanding and such. And the better man has to stand up and apologize. This is what's happening this day and age, where a lot of people do not understand that sometimes if you fuck up, take the L and send your apologies out. Too many people are wearing pride on their chest or wearing it too high on their shoulders and believing that they could walk away and not have to send their apologies over because it's a sign of weakness. No, it's a sign of compassion. It's a sign of understanding that you've done wrong. And acknowledging that to others in which that you've done wrong helps to build your relationship and better understandings between you and your friends, family, and those who are around you. So the bigger person is the better one who can sit there and recognize their faults and their wrongs and realize that, you know, they fucked up. And they can fix that. So be that bigger person when you know when the time comes, and you know, stop walking around with this fucking bravado and carrying around as though that you're not worthy of giving somebody your apologies because it's a sign of weakness. It's bullshit. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Got to wrap this up. Got much coming down the way. House of Glories this week as well. And much more to come to you guys. So, guys, catch you on the flip side. Take a bump, guys. We out of here. Laters.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Tabloid.